slowly, like an animal stretching after hibernation. The command system train, all 300 meters of it, flexed. The carriages pulling a little tighter to each other, taking up slack, readying. Quen all felt the slight movement and wanted to laugh. It was working. Probably he had taken far too long, probably it was now too late, but at least he had done what he had set out to do against all the odds and the pain. He had taken command of the long silver beast, and with only a little more luck, he would at least give the humans something to think about, and show the beast of the barrier what he thought of its precious monument. Nervously, fearing that it would still not work after all his effort and agony, he took hold of the lever he and Zogzal had decided governed the power fed to the main wheel motors, then pushed it until it was at its limit for the starting mode. The train shuddered, groaned, and did not move. His one eye, containing the grey view, began to cry, drowning in tears. The train jerked. A noise of metal tearing came from behind. He was almost thrown from the seat. He had to grab the edge of the seat, then lean forward and take the power lever again as it flicked back to the off position. The roaring in his head grew and grew. He was shaking with exhaustion and excitement. He pushed the lever again. Wreckage blocked one door. Welding gear hung under the reactor car. Strips of metal torn from the train's hull were splayed out like stray hairs from a badly groomed coat. Lumps of debris littered the tracks by the sides of both access gantries, and one whole ramp, where Zogzal had been buried for a while, had crashed through the side of a carriage when it had been cut free. Groaning and moaning, as though its own attempts at movement were as painful as Quen All's had been, the train lurched forward again. It moved half a turn of its wheels, then stopped, as the jammed ramp stuck against the access gantry. A whining noise came from the train motors. In the control deck, alarms sounded, almost too high for the injured Idiran to hear. Meters flashed, needles climbed into danger zones, screens filled with information. The ramp started to tear itself free from the train, crumpling a jagged-edged trench from the carriage surface as the train slowly forced its way forward. Quen All watched the lip of the tunnel mouth edge closer. More wreckage ground against the forward access gantry. The welding gear under the reactor car scraped along the smooth floor until it came to the lip of stone surrounding an inspection trough. It jammed, then broke, clattering to the bottom of the trough. The train rammed slowly forward. With a grinding crash, the ramp caught on the rear access assembly, fell free, snapping aluminium ribs and steel tubes, flaying the aluminium and plastic skin of the carriage it had lodged in. One corner of the ramp was nudged under the train, covering a rail. The wheels hesitated at it, the linkages between the cars straining until the slowly gathering onward pull overcame the ramp. It buckled, its structures compressing, and the wheels rolled over it, thumping down on the far side and continuing along the rail. The next wheels clattered over it with hardly a pause. Quen All sat back. The tunnel came to the train and seemed to swallow it. The view of the station slowly disappeared. Dark walls slid gently by on either side of the control deck. The train still shuddered, but it was slowly gathering speed. A series of bangs and crashes told Quen All of the carriages dragging their way after him, through the debris, over the shining rails, past the wrecked gantries, out of the damaged station. The first car left at a slow walking pace, the next a little faster, the reactor carriage at a fast walk, and the final car at a slow run. Smoke tugged after the departing train, then drifted back and rose to the roof again. The camera in Station 6, where they had had the firefight, where Dorolo and Nysin had died and the other Adiran had been left for dead, was out of action. Hawser tried the switch a couple of times, but the screen stayed dark. A damage indicator winked. Hawser flicked quickly through the views from the other stations on the circuit, then switched the screen off. "Well, everything seems to be all right," he stood up. "Let's get back to the train." Yalsin told Wobslin and the drone. Balveda slipped off the big seat, and with her in the lead, they walked out of the control room. Behind them, a power monitoring screen, one of the first Hawser had switched on, was registering a massive energy drain in the locomotive supply circuits, indicating that somewhere, in the tunnels of the command system, a train was moving. Chapter 13. The Command System. Terminus.
"One can read too much into one's own circumstances, I'm reminded of one race who set themselves against us, oh, long ago now, before I was even thought of. Their conceit was that the galaxy belonged to them, and they justified this heresy by a blasphemous belief concerning design. They were aquatic, their brain and major organs housed in a large central pod, from which several large arms or tentacles protruded.